Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The last verse in verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the world is framed by the word of God, which is invisible, so that the things which are seen, which are tangible, that we could touch, that we could feel, that we could smell, that we could hear, that we could see, the things that we could experience with our body, is made of things which are invisible. Verse 3 says that it is made of things which are not visible. Let's read the whole verse. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Notice there are two things there. The first things is the things which are seen. The second things are the things which are not seen. It uses the neuter word in the Greek, things. The things which are around us that we could see and touch, the things were made up of some other things which are in the spirit world. There is a physical world and there is a spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there are things. There are things. There are substances. Otherwise, the Bible won't call it things. Which were made of things, plural, which are not visible, which is invisible, not perceivable to our five senses. Whereas on this area here, the physical things are touchable, feelable. For us, we need to understand that everything physical starts in the spiritual first. The physical world came from the spirit world. The physical world is influenced by the spiritual world. The physical world is like being down here and is subjected to the spiritual world. Many Christians want to change the physical world around them without changing the spiritual world around them. And it is not possible to change the physical world until we change the spiritual world. Because the physical world is subject to the laws that govern the spirit world. Many times the laws of the spirit transcend and prevail over and above physical laws. That is why sometimes a person who is given up to die gets healed by a miracle of God instantly. There is a higher law operating over a lower law. This physical world that we have is built from the spiritual world. Let me read a few more scriptures that we could base this understanding on. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul knew this principle and he operated that same principle in chapter 4, verse 16, 17 and 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. For though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18. While we do not, notice, we do not look at the things which are seen. We do not look at the things which are seen. That's amazing. He is not living in the physical realm, although in actual fact he is. But his whole being, internal being, is living in another realm. He says we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that we can see is temporary and is subject to change. It is changeable, moldable, and removable. But the things which are not seen is eternal. It controls the physical realm. One last verse in Romans chapter 1. When it talks about God creating this planet Earth, Romans chapter 1, there is a statement that Paul made regarding the creation of the world as he expound on the gospel. He talks about those who are disobedient to the gospel. And then he makes a statement here in Romans chapter 1 verse 20. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. In other words, the invisible things and attributes of God are understood by the physical things which he made. In other words, before God made any physical things, he had some spiritual forms that he has conceived. And from that spiritual form, he creates that physical form. The things which are made physically were made from a spiritual form. It is written in Genesis chapter 1 that every time God made something, it is always said, and God said. You look at Genesis 1, when you go back, you will notice that it is repeated so often, and God said, 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 to the point where in English, it would be almost redundant. But the Holy Spirit records that for us to let us know that God made the world by His spoken words. And before God speaks for those words from His mouth, those words were in God's mind, in the spirit realm. God has conceived how the world will be like. God conceives of a world with light. So God says, let there be light. God conceives of a world with the earth, the waters above the earth and the waters underneath the earth. Then God said, let the waters of the earth be separate above the firmament and below the firmament. God conceived in Himself that there was going to be land. Land was not formed yet, but in the spirit realm, God saw it. God formed it in His spirit realm, and then God said, let the land appear, and the land came forth. The water parted, the land came forth. And then when God conceived in His being all the plants, the foliage, and the animals, etc., every time it's God said, then they came into being. So the things which are physical were made of things which are invisible. And unless we realize this truth, we will be working to change our circumstances and our lives the wrong way. Many people strive in the natural and in the physical world when they should be putting all their effort into changing the spirit world within them, the spirit world around them, and then they will change the physical. And this process is what I call visualizing. The vision that each one of you have inside you, there is an ability in your life to form an image within yourself. Some people think that visualizing is something new, some new teaching from somewhere. Let me tell you, whether it's taught to you or not, it was with you all the time. Just because we learn that milk consists of proteins, amino acids, some carbohydrate, and water, it does not mean that we have not had milk since we were first born. And just because we can understand the principles of visualizing and is taught clearly and systematically, does not mean that at this time then only it starts operating in our life, because it's operating in your life whether you know it or not. Inside each one of you is an image of your person, is an image of your circumstances, is an image that is in the spirit realm. Where the soul contacts the spirit, that is the part we are talking about. It is called building in the spirit world. Before you have prosperity in your life, you have to have an image built from the Word of God into your soul, so that when you see yourself as God sees, physically it begins to take place. And many times when you talk to people who are in poverty and who are in need, we find that in their inner heart and mind, they always see, whenever they close their eyes, they could see the bills. Whenever they close their eyes, they could see the needs. Whenever they close their eyes, they could see all the poverty coming on their life. It is so clear that they could see it and imagine it as if it actually happens, and then it does happen. And many times these people come and they are taught the word, but the image in their life is not changed. And the image in their life is not changed, no matter what gets to them, to their hearing, and they don't change the image that is inside them, they will never change their circumstances. They could hear the word in and out. It will not change unless they change their spirit realm where they are seeing. They build the spirit realm around them. Where they begin to change their image, they begin to take the word. The word says, my God supplies all my needs. So instead of seeing the bills, they see the bills being paid. They see the needs being met. I'd like you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to see the place where you are staying right now. Right now, present.
Can you all see clearly? Clear as crystal. Easy, right? Now you close your eyes again for a moment. And I want you to see what you'll be doing in 1 year's time. And that's a bit harder. So how do I know what to see? Some of you have realized the Bible said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And the language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams. For in the last days, Spirit shall pour upon all flesh, and they shall have visions and dreams. Visions and dreams are classified in one category, pictures. Received in your conscious mind or your subconscious mind. Whether you're conscious or subconscious, is pictures. Now the Holy Spirit sometimes through prophecy try to give you a picture of yourself that God sees. And if you take that picture that God has shown you and you hold it and you meditate on it, and you meditate on it, and you meditate on it, before long it comes to pass. It comes to pass. So the picture that you're seeing right now when you close your eyes of your ministry or your life, what you will be is going to be played out in the physical realm exactly as you see it. If you see it with half victory, you will have half a victory. People don't realize it. But when you close your eyes and you see the spirit realm, when you see that spirit realm is real. It is more real than the physical world. Because the physical world will be made by that spirit realm. And that spirit realm needs to be seen clearly. Now what is happening here is many people are not visualizing clearly. For them it is a blur. We do not encourage meditation on anything outside the Word. Because all that you visualize must be in line with the Word and in line with God's will and purpose for your life. So before you move into visualizing, you must sort of sense and come to the prayer or dedication and sense what God wants you to do. You must die to yourself first. Before the birth of a vision is the death of a vision. Your own vision. Your own vision must die before God's vision is born in you. Unless we deny ourselves, these truths of visualizing will not be applicable. For example, if it's not God's will for you to be a prophet, no matter how you visualize it, it will not come to pass. So these truths are subject to the will of God. However, when it's God's will for you to be a prophet, and you do not grasp the words of God to you, you do not meditate on the words of God for your life, and the prophecies that are spoken over you, and the words and the voice of God that is spoken to your life, you do not take them and form new images, you can leave until Jesus comes and you may never enter the prophet's office. So it's also dangerous. And so for many people, the spirit world is very blurred. They don't see clearly. Yet it is the most important areas of our life. See, when God shows me a vision, when God shows me something, every time I will take it and I will form it and I will see it clearly. I will touch it and I will feel it in that spirit realm. I could see what some of the things God showed me could be many years ahead. I don't know how many years ahead. But there are some visions that He has given me, every time I pray, I will see clear as crystal. Let me give you an example.
I saw in a vision a place that seats 100,000 people. And I was praying and said, God, how are the people going to worship you? And I saw it clearly, and there was a platform. It was an eclipse in shape, and about one quarter from one side was the platform with a choir behind, and above the platform was a big screen that magnified everything that goes on the stage. And the interesting thing was that within the whole congregation of about 100,000 people, there was sections of 1,000, 2,000 and 3,000 that had their own mini platform. Not so much a platform as a sort of altar area. And in the altar area, in each of these altar areas, broken down into many altar areas, there was a big major altar around the main stage. But there were other smaller altar areas. And these other altar areas, there is the Lord's Supper and the communion and the offertory things that are kept in each altar area. And the interesting thing was, in each altar area, there was a song leader. So there was a main song leader down there on the stage, and in each 1,000, 2,000 group, there was an individual song leader that harmonized with the main song leader. I've never seen that before. But what I do is I take that image that God has shown, that vision that God has shown. I don't know how it's going to come to pass. The house, I don't know. The ability to bring it to pass, we don't have. But my responsibility is to conceive it until it gives birth. So I would take that, and in my prayer life, I would take that and I would see it over and over again. I would touch it and I would feel it, and sometimes I would have zoom lens on it too. And I would zoom on some section and see the people smiling and praising God and dancing away. In that, and I want to see as clearly as possible until I could almost see the clothing that they were wearing. And I need to hold this mark, because I know this that is invisible, this that is invisible and not touchable at the moment, is the future. It's real. If I could hold it long enough, if I could hold it strong enough, if I could conceive it over and over again, in my spirit, in my imagination, and I let it dwell upon me, I am the ground. God's word is the seed. And the word is like an image that comes to us. Words are actually images. All of us think in images. When I say a black dog, you don't have like computer screen there, black dog, B-L-A-C-K-D-O-G. What you have is a darkish looking hairy animal called a dog. If you love Alsatian, you would think of Alsatian. If you love Cocker Spaniel, you think of a black Cocker Spaniel. If you love a poodle, you would have a black poodle. If I just say black dog. So words are actually images. Images spoken out. And so God speaks His word and we receive. See, we are the ground. God's word is the seed. And the seed comes onto our heart. The heart area is the imagination area. We're going to go through this series, the teaching. We're going to show you and prove from scripture that the heart is the area of the imagination. See, there are several Greek words for the word mind. And one of those especially talk about imagination. There's a Greek word that is dialogismai, which talks about reasoning, which is the different thought area. There's another word, which is dianoia, which talks about the area of the imagination. And the most amazing thing is the word dianoia in the Greek, the area of the imagination, is the same Greek word Jesus used in Matthew, Mark and Luke when He said, "You shall love the Lord your God
with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your dianoia, all your mind. Now we know that the soul is the soul consists of the intellect, the emotions, and the will. Why does Jesus repeat mind again? Because the imagination, our dianoia, the part that imagines, is a vital part unto God to work the works of God on this planet earth. To do the things of God on this planet earth. So, as far as the ministry is concerned, what's what I do? I allow the seed of God's word, which is the image that He gives to me through His spoken and written word, that He speaks, and I allow it to sing into me. I allow it to be absorbed into me, and I constantly visualize it. That is in a ministry. Now you could do the same thing in your personal life. Ask, what has God's word promised to you? Second, what has God spoken to you specifically that you have and you are to do? Then you begin to visualize and imagine. Now your imagination will be stronger, that will hold you stronger than physical bars. It's just like one day there was this person who kept an eagle. He tied the eagle's leg to a stick. The string was attached from the eagle's leg to the stick, stuck on the ground. So the eagle goes round and round, but it cannot go further than the string. The eagles try to fly, but it cannot go fly higher than the string. And so for years, the eagle was just going around and around that stick and being fed there. One day, the man cut the string, and that poor eagle, who did not realize the string was cut, still went round the same way. He sometimes look up and see the other eagles up there and wish he could be up there. But it has been ingrained within him that he cannot go further than that. Even when the string is cut, that poor eagle behaved no better than a chicken who can't fly. Where he was supposed to be was to be soaring in the clouds above. But here he is behaving like a chicken. We may laugh at the eagle, but some of us eagles are like chickens too. And some of us, God has said certain things, but the devil has programmed us from our past life. We have been programmed for sickness. So some of us have never fallen sick for a long time. And so the devil tells you, it's about time. You know, it's abnormal for people not to be sick. After all, the world gets a flu once a year. So the devil programs your mind and you say, yes, I must be normal like the rest. And it gives you one good dose that lasts for a month. No, we have been programmed by the devil wrongly. So the imagination is an avenue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 and 5, it says that we have to pull down imagination. Pull down the devil's thoughts and bring every thought to the captive of Christ. Let me tell you, the devil don't need a physical handcuff to handcuff you. The devil can handcuff you by giving his false images. By giving his images of destruction, images of poverty, images of being condemned, images of being sick, images of all his dirty, filthy works. And you see them and you imagine them in your life and in your family, he has had you. He could release you from the handcuff, you will still be in prison. Your imagination are stronger bars than the physical prison bars. And unless we unlock a person's imagination, we cannot set them free.
How do we do that? By the word. The word is like a pen. Romans 8, Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10 talks about God writing his laws in our minds and in our hearts. You remember that? That word mind is dianoia. It refers to the imagination area where the word of God writes in our imagination area. You receive it from the word. But for most people, their imagination is weak. Their visualizing is weak. For some, they had a blackout. They need revival. Their batteries need recharging. In fact, some of their batteries have run dead for many years. They need an overhaul. The imagination is a part of your heart area and between your soul and your spirit. Your imagination is a part of your soul that is extended into the spirit world that touches. You see, our soul touches our body inside us. So that when my soul wants to go to the right, I go to the right. My body goes. There's some sort of control between my soul and my body. There is a connection between your soul and your spirit. And that connection, that link, is the imagination. It is a part of your soul, but yet it is in the part where it touches the spirit realm, where it moves in the spirit realm. And for your spirit to flow through your soul to your body, you have to get that connection renewed and washed and cleansed and be used by God's word. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all your spirit, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength," which is your body. So he repeats the mind, the imagination area. But most of us do not have our imagination formed correctly. See, we don't realize that what we do in the spirit realm is going to affect the physical realm. Let me get two brothers. Let me get Brother Philip. Yes. Philip Sim. It's always cooperative. Could you stand right here? Yeah, just right here, right in front of the camera here. Okay, stand here. And Brother James. Yes. Could you stand? I'm here, please. Right here. Stand and face the congregation. Alright. Now, Brother Philip, I want you to just turn this way a bit and keep one eye on James. Excuse me, both eyes. Okay. Now, what I want you is just to watch him. Now, this is a spirit world. This is a spirit realm. Let's pretend they are the same person. But this is where the spirit is. This is where the soul is. And whatever happens in the spirit realm is going to affect the soul realm and the physical realm. So there is the soul and the body. There is the spirit realm. Now, what I want you to do is whatever he does, you do. That is what the physical world is supposed to do. See, the things which are seen were made of things which are not seen. Do you know the things which are seen are temporal and are still changing? What changed them? What caused them? Do you know that in the world today there are demonic forces trying to change it for bad? And right now in the spirit world there are good forces, the angels and the saints are praying to change it for good. Who controls it? It's from the spirit realm where the battle is raged. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we wrestle in the spirit world to change it in the spirit world. And some people try to change it in the physical world. They do their best. They can do their groaning and their aching all they want, but it will never change if they don't change that. Now, I want you to follow him exactly
right? And whenever I turn you any way, you must get back into the position he is. You understand me? Alright. So, they try to change the physical world. They try to change their working situation, their circumstances, or their home life, or the things around them, the husbands and the wives and the family life is not too good. They try to change it in the physical world. So they do their best and they see what happens? If you don't change the spirit world, the physical world will never change. It is a pure struggle. And so they keep on trying, and they keep on trying. They say, oh! And then they are in poverty. They are working. And they are in a situation that they have financial need. And they do their best in the physical world. They try to do this and do that, do this and do that. All in the physical world. So they try again. All their effort and energy is spent on the wrong thing. But if they will rest, relax the physical realm. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with the spirit realm. If they will realize it and take this truth and begin, you see, your imagination is the part that contacts the spirit world. They would begin to change the imagination, and they would begin to take the word and change the imagination. And then they began to change, and they began to see their husbands or their wives change. Where before they keep seeing, you know, their family life as bad or their situation as bad, they began to change. And so they began to see, instead of seeing grumbling and complaint and poverty, they began to change the spirit world and began to see praising. So slowly they build their spirit realm. And then they got the spirit realm to praise God. And then they did it again. And they visualize, and the spirit realm changed. Now isn't that easy? All we have to do is change the spirit realm, and the physical realm will follow. See, people go at it backwards. It's just like trying to put the cart before the horse. Have you ever tried? Poor horse. We have to change the spirit world before we change the physical world. You want the God's blessings on your business, God's blessings in your ministry, God's blessings in your home, God's blessings in any area of your life, you must contact and change the spirit world first. No matter how you change it, the physical world will follow. Now, could you go this way? Now that was difficult, but the physical world also follow. Maybe we should leave them there for the whole service. But you notice what we are getting at now? That the spirit world affects the physical. We must change in the right realm. Praise God, you may go back. Let's give Jesus a clap offering. And so the spirit world will be affected by our imagination. Our imagination is the part that contacts the spirit world. It contacts it. Let me give you a few scriptures at this point and show forth in the book of Hebrews again. It says in chapter 11 verse 1 2 and 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed. See, the meaning of the word frame is to be formed bit by bit. If I take a picture for framing, what am I making? I'm making an outline for the picture. When we, the word frame is a word that talks about forming. Forming. It's formed and is framed by the Word of God. The Word of God acting upon our imagination will change the physical world. Your imagination is your responsibility, is in your control. We are told to change our imagination by God. We are told to change our imagination, renew the areas of our imagination. Look at the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4 and verse 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, where is the strongholds? You read verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every one of our thoughts in the spirit world to submit to Christ. If you look at verse 3, it says, we walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Now you understand what it means by walking in the spirit? You change the spirit realm. See, strongholds are imaginations are the attack of the devil on the realm of this, of our imagination. The devil is sly and cunning. He does not come physically to you and attack you. But you know how he puts sickness on you? He puts an imagination of fear. Perhaps one of your, someone you know died. Then you have a fear in your life that it may happen to you. Then you begin to imagine it. Straight away he got you. See, the devil fights not in the physical world. He fights in the realm of our imagination. If he could get your imagination, he has got you. It says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, though we are here in the flesh, yet our warfare is in the spirit. That is the realm of the imagination. Our warfare is in that realm. And as I explained to you, that there are two Greek words that talk about thought life and mind. One comes from the root word dialogismai, which talks about reasoning. That's the same word that Paul used when in Acts, it talks about how Acts 18, he reasoned in the synagogue. It talks about how the Pharisees reasoned among themselves. But there's another word, which is the word dianoia. You want to spell D-I-A-N-O-I-A. Dianoia. And that is the word that has special reference to our imagination. Well, we're going to look at that word carefully. And that is Luke chapter 1 verse 51. Luke chapter 1 verse 51. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Do you know that your heart, your imagination are connected? When the Bible uses the word heart, it talks about the area of your heart that could imagine. The imagination area. The word heart and the word imagination are connected.
That is why sometimes some people take the word heart to represent the spirit world. Sometimes they take it to represent the soul. Because the word heart has a reference to the quality within you to imagine. Let me prove it from the scripture. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. Very quickly, get all these scriptures across to you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, here it talks about what you produce in your life, what you're going to achieve in this life. It comes from your heart, not from your body. It comes from something within you. So if you want to change the heart. And changing the heart talks about changing the imagination area. Another scripture that we have to get across is looking at Matthew chapter 5 verse 28. Statement that Jesus made. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her. Where? In his heart. Now, is that the spirit or the soul? Soul, right? Your spirit doesn't do that. Now, which part of the soul? The imagination. Where does a person imagine lust? Where does a person lust? In their imagination. They picture it inside them. They see it inside them. Every time when the Bible talks about your heart, it has reference to the imagination area. A few more scriptures. In this time we look at Matthew 6, 21, 23. The next chapter. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now here is talking about the eye, but it is singular. It's not talking about our physical eyes. Although our physical eyes, I repeat, are in the physical world what the imagination is to the soul. I repeat so that you can get it. The eyes of our body that see colors and images is in the physical world something of what the imagination is to the soul. In other words, the imagination is the eye of your soul. Your soul has eyes. Do you know that? You know, if right now we should all go to be with God and leave our bodies down here, you will have eyes still. Your soul has eyes. Here it refers singular because it's talking about that picture and that vision, that visualizing area. In Matthew 6, look at it carefully, it talks about your heart in verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And the very next verse he talks about in verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. What kind of eye is he talking about? The eyes of your imagination. The eyes of your heart. What is the eye of your heart? We look back and study the word heart and imagination. The eyes of the heart are the imagination of the heart. So Jesus is saying, if your eye is good, your whole being will be good. Your whole life will be good. If your imagination is good, your whole life is good and full of light. If your imagination is evil, your life will be full of evil. If you want to change the physical world, you must deal with the visualizing area, the area of your imagination. The eyes of our heart.
And there's a Greek word that talks about the imagination, dianoia, sometimes translated mind, but in Luke 1, translated imagination. The part that sees the images. What most of us struggle with is that we are not able to visualize clearly. In the physical world, sometimes people are short-sighted, some are long-sighted, some are both. Short-sighted, and some are tunnel-sighted, all kinds of eye problems. In the soul area, people also have problems visualizing. And yet, God says that you shall love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. When you love God with your heart, it has to cover the imagination area. It touches the imagination. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, if you please. Hebrews 8. Verse 10 and 11. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After these days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind. The same word in Luke 1 verse 51, which is translated imagination. I will put my laws in their imagination. Dianoia. In their mind. The imagination part of your mind. And write them in their hearts. On their hearts again connects to the imagination. So if you translate it the way they translate it other places, it will be that He will put their laws in their imagination and write them in their hearts. Then I will be their God and they shall be my people. Repeated again in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them upon their hearts and their minds. The word mind, dianoia. The part that imagines. And they talk about your heart again, it comes to imagination. So the Bible is talking about how God is going to change our life by changing the imagination. And the warfare in the spirit realm is in the spirit realm. If you win the warfare in the spirit realm, you win the warfare in the physical realm. If you lose your warfare in the spirit realm, you lose it in the physical realm. But the problem is many people cannot imagine clearly. Many people cannot visualize clearly. They don't know how to write the words of God in their heart and minds. How to let it write pictures clearly. Let's say that you confess Philippians 4 verse 19. My God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then when you close your eyes, you still see your purse empty, your bank account empty, your whole lifestyle in need, and you have pictures and recollection of those times when you're in need. What has happened? The word of God is in your mouth, but it's not in your heart and your mind yet. And the word of God will not work for you unless you get it in your heart and in your mind. So we should take that word and say, alright, if God supplies all my needs, what must I see? I will see how my needs are met. I began to see it. I began to draw on my past, the pictures that I have from the past, to form that new picture. How? By remembering those times God supplied my need. I would take those images and use those images that I could easily visualize and form new ones of my new situations, how God is going to supply my need. But you have to work at it and be very detailed about it. It has to be a clear-cut formation
When you build something in the spirit realm, it has to be built clearly in detail so that it will produce in the physical world. Most people don't take the trouble and the time to do all these things. So Brother Philip, could you come up again? Nice sermon illustration. I didn't bring this here because I'm cold. I'm never cold. I'm standing all the time and walking about. Could you stand here? Alright. Now, you look away from me. Alright. Look away from me. Don't look at me. And pretend I have never ever seen a jacket before. I don't know what a jacket is for. I don't know what a jacket is about. But there is this jacket. And I don't know how to put on a jacket because I haven't even seen a jacket before. Now, let me give you a mic. Could we have a microphone on for him? You can hold his mic. Testing?
Testing.
Right. Are we all ready? Say 1, 2, 3, go. All right. Take off. Now, he is going to instruct me, who has never seen a jacket before, who has never worn a jacket before, and don't know what it's like, what it's for, and I want you to tell me how to wear this jacket. Don't look at me. You look that side. Just with your voice, you tell me how to wear this jacket.
Wear that jacket. Peter, wear that jacket.
Okay, let me wear the jacket.
Peter, wear that jacket.
Alright, you can look around. Huh? Look around. What kind of instruction did you give me? Wear the jacket. I was wearing the jacket. Alright. So, we need explicit instruction. Thank you, Philip. Now, you can go back. Let's get Shankar here. Right. I want you to look that side. Don't look at me. Look in that direction. And you're going to tell me how to wear this jacket. I have never seen a jacket before. I don't know what a jacket is for. Don't know what it's like. You tell me, give me instructions how to wear a jacket. Some of you didn't realize wearing a jacket can be so complicated. Don't look this side. Just look straight at that side.
Put your right hand into the right sleeve of the jacket.
You're not supposed to look around. You're not supposed to look around. Remember, you are in the soul and in the physical realm, alright? You can only tell and give instruction. Could you please give your instruction again?
Put your right hand into the right sleeve of the jacket.
Hey, you're not supposed to look. I think we must blindfold him. Don't look here at all. Just look straight that side at the stained glass. Alright? Okay, I got it now. It's the right one.
Now put the left hand into the left sleeve of the jacket.
Any other instructions?
I'm waiting for you.
Okay. Now, What I'm illustrating, I follow his instructions. He told me to put my hand in the right side of the jacket. So I put it on the right side. Put your left hand in the left part of the jacket. So I haven't seen a jacket before, so you notice that in the spirit world, we have to visualize and see and form clearly our instructions to the imagination area, which is done by our soul, must be clear. Some of us are not getting results because you're not visualizing properly. You're not seeing the image clearly. You're giving all kinds of instruction and the imagination is not forming it the way that it should be. The instructions are very vital. Anybody else wants to try this? Alright, Brother James, could you stand here and you look that side and give me clear, specific instructions how to wear the jacket? It's not as easy as you think. I haven't seen a jacket before. I don't know what a jacket is like. Anybody who wants to try this? Oh, Brother Benjamin. Thank you. Thank you, James. It's not as easy as you think. Oh, he wants to try now. Right, here he comes. He's going to try to visualize again. Alright.
Okay.
Yes.
Pastor, have you seen a shirt? The jacket,
yes,
you are holding is like your shirt.
Okay.
So I want you to put it the same way as you put the shirt, your shirt on.
He's got it. Thank you. Now he has got it. All right. You see what helped him? He used something that I'm wearing at the moment and to put on that jacket. Now in the same way, when we are doing imagination and visualizing in that area, we have to take God's word. What God's word say about our life and our situation. If God's word say by His stripes I am healed, I have to send the instructions back into my imagination area. And my imagination, if you have been sick all your life, you will find your imagination actually is seeing a very sick picture. If you have never been walking normally, in your imagination, probably after all those years of oppression from the enemy, your imagination will carry a picture of someone who is sick. And then you're wondering why you're not healed. When you know that by His stripes you're healed, but you're not healed yet. See, the word of God must be written in your hearts and in your minds. So the word by His stripes I am healed must get into this imagination area, knock off the old guy who is sickly and replace it and paint a picture of someone who is healthy. And so you have to get an image somehow, and you find it hard to visualize there. You draw from whatever you have. Like for example, if just at one point in your life you have been healthy before, where you have played some games. So you take that picture that you have and you use that to get the imagination. By his stripes I'm healed. A healed person does not stay in bed. A healed person does not use a crutch. A healed person will be able to play games, will be able to swim, will be able to jog, will be able to run normally. So you take those images of yourself healthy and you put it in the imagination area. And you hold it there. Sometimes, when you put it in this imagination area, your imagination that is not renewed yet will resist. Will resist and try to spring back to the old image. Every time it springs back to the old image, then you do it again the next day. And then it gets into the imagination, and then after some time you forget about it, it springs back into the old image again. So there's a struggle before the image is formed in the spirit world, in your imagination. But the day you could form an image of yourself strong, healthy and healed, exactly as God's word says, by stripes you're healed, when you change your imagination, suddenly you find you're free. You are free. And it just flows forth without a struggle. The battleground is in the realm of the imagination. You change your imagination, you change your life. Some husbands and wives, they have been in such disharmony, maybe from the past before you knew the Lord. And now, your Christian life is good, you are saved. But from time to time, you fall back into the old ways of quarreling and disharmony. Why? Because inside the image of the wife is a husband, fierce, quarrelsome, bad-tempered. Right? So the wife has an image of the husband. And here, the husband is converted, the husband has changed, but the image in the wife is still... What is going to happen is she is going to reap what she sowed. Every time she sees her husband, when I say, alright, all the ladies who have husbands, close your eyes and visualize your husband. Easy, right? But visualize. Visualize him clearly. It's clear as crystal. Alright, you can open your eyes now. Whatever image you saw of your husband, if some of you saw your husband in the angry mood, you have locked him in your imagination. And you will constantly have arguments. But if those of you ladies could see your husband to be the man of God you want him to be, see him in your imagination the way he is supposed to be. If right now you could see that, your attitudes respond and change to your own husband also. And the situation changes. The same way, reverse. Some of you husbands, close your eyes for a moment and visualize your wife. See your wife standing in your imagination. Some of you, alright, you can open your eyes. Some of you husbands saw your wife. I can guarantee you are going to have problems. But some of you, if you see your wife, you know, you are going to reap a loving wife. You know, sometimes, because of what we have been through, because of our defeats and our failure, do you know failures have a tendency to produce more failures? And one defeat has a tendency to make you more defeated. What do we need? Thank God, the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only power that can erase the realm of the imagination. when nothing else can touch it, the blood of the Lamb of God could get into our imagination and wash away all those images. All the wrong images. The blood of the Lamb. Forgiveness received through the blood. And when that changed and erased the imagination and put a new image inside, your home is going to change. Your life is going to change. Some of you are struggling with bad habits. Whether it be in an area of smoking or drinking. This is how it's going to help you. If you check and close your eyes and see yourself, if you see yourself smoking, you will never get out of it. Because your imagination has not changed yet. What do you see in yourself? What do the eyes of your heart see? Do you see a person, for example, a drug addict? A drug addict not only has a physical drug problem, but he has an image problem. In the first place, he got into drugs probably because of an image problem. And if the image problem is not dealt with, it will recur again and again and again. There is no permanent deliverance until the image is changed. It is not something that is a shortcut. It is something you do every day. And thank God with the blood of Jesus and with the word of God, you could rewrite your life the way God wants it to be. And so if you could take those wrong images of yourself taking drunk or falling into that temptation, and you put a new image inside, you see a different image of yourself, the way the word of God says about you. You are what the word says you are. You can do what the word says you can do. You see yourself the way God's word sees you. And you put the image clear inside. Down there, your physical man will follow. With the ease of a dove flying in the air. Just ease. No struggle. The battleground is in the imagination. Say the battleground is in the imagination. I will pull down the strongholds that the enemy has put into my imagination. And I will put new images in the realm of my imagination. So here we go. We have to call for house cleaning in the area of your hearts and minds. You'll be surprised how many images we allow inside. They are wrong. You'll be surprised if you pray and check with God how much of the imaginations we have stored inside our hearts should have been gotten rid of. You don't get rid of them, you're going to continue to reap it. Those of you who are in a work-wise area, do you see what God wants you to see? Now these are the different ways that helps you to paint a picture. See, we are all like spiritual artists. We're painting a picture in the spirit realm. So to have the proper picture, you need the proper book. That is the Word of God. Study the Word. Read what the Word says about you. The Word says you're redeemed. How is the redeemed picture? The Word says that you're washed by the blood. How is the picture synchronizing? Is Ask yourself, is the picture you see inside synchronizing with the Word of God? If it's not, change the picture. Secondly, what has God shown you in your personal life about what He wants you to do? Now that is called Rhema. We talk about the Logos, the written word. Rhema. God in His mercy gives each one of us Rhema. He gives you a special Rhema that He doesn't give to another person. What He wants you to do with your life. He gives you Rhema. Now that Rhema adds color to your picture. That Rhema adds more detail to the picture that God wants you to see. Whether it be a Rhema in your business, in your ministry, in your home life, God does speak to you. Sometimes He speaks by visions. Sometimes He speaks by dreams. Sometimes He speaks by prophecies. But He speaks a Rhema specially for you. You take that Rhema and you meditate on it. Timothy was given Rhema by the presbytery. And Paul in Timothy tell him, meditate on those things which have been spoken unto you. Meditate. Let those things form images in you. Because this image realm is real. It's real. You begin to experience them. There are four processes to experience them. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, talking about the men of faith before us, but having seen them afar off. What happened? They could see it. They could visualize. They had seen it afar off. Number two, they were assured of them. Number three, they embraced them. Number four, they confessed. They saw, they were assured, they embrace and they confess. You see the images. And then when you see the images, every time you pray, you see the images and you pray until the assurance drops into your spirit. That you know, that you know, that you know it's all going to come to pass. The assurance builds up because faith, Hebrews 11 verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance, is the conviction, is the assurance in some translation. Of the things not seen. So you need to visualize until you are assured. At first, when you see the image, when you see the image of your changed husband, your changed wife, or your changed family, or your changed home, or your changed business, or your changed ministry, when you see them, the assurance is not there yet. You may need to see quite long before the assurance drop in you. At first you see, you say, cannot be. How can that be? There are a lot of doubts. You say, how can I be that like that? Especially when you're in bondage. You say, how can I be like that? Look at me now. The image, the image, the image. You have to hold the image inside you until you are assured of them. And when you're assured of the image, you embrace the image. What do we mean by embrace? You begin to feel the image. The feelings begin to come. There have been times when I have visualized and while praying in the spirit. See, what I do while I see those images is I pray in tongues. As I pray in tongues, I just keep the image there. And I use prayer in tongues to bring it to pass. To pray into pass. To pray in the spirit until the vision comes to pass. And sometimes while I do that, I'm fully assured that it's going to come to pass. And as I do that, I sat sitting on the seat. I started crying and weeping. I said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you for healing all these people." It's all in the spirit realm. Physically, if you look at me, I will still be on a chair. But I'm there. I experience it. I move into the vision. The vision moves into me. And when I embrace the vision, I have moved into the vision. See, it's one thing to have the vision in you. It's another to have you in the vision. So I began to see myself moving into the vision. I could see those people. I could touch them. I could hold them. I could comfort them. I could bring them to the Lord. I could see them. And I experienced all those things. And if you watch me doing those things, you see me saying, "Hallelujah, praise God." Say, "Hey, what's that guy doing on the chair there?" I'm experiencing it. It's all in that spirit realm. I'm embracing it. I'm embracing it. You need to embrace it into your life. You experience all the feelings involved. If you're seeing your business changing from bad to abundance, when you begin to see it prosper, you get caught up in the spirit of it. And you say, "Hallelujah, thank you, Lord." And I won't be surprised if you experience it to the fullness, you start dancing, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, glorious." When actually you don't even have a penny inside you. Why? Because you have embraced the vision. When you've gone through that process, you begin to talk about it. When you go out, you say, "God's going to bless my business. He's going to prosper me. I know it." See, it comes out from your mouth. That's the way it should be operating. Would you stand together with me on your feet, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we're going to cast down strongholds. Cast down imaginations. Pull down strongholds. Visualize and see. Right now. Close your eyes. Wherever you are. The many needs in our midst, the many situations, but what you see is subject to change. What your circumstances is subject to change. Everything that you could touch, feel, see, smell, taste is subject to change. What I want you to do is with your eyes closed, is to begin to see new images. The area that is hurting your life, the area that is causing you pain, that's the area where the image must be changed. There could be 1,000 things you want to change, but change them one by one. The area that concerns you most, that absorbs most of your time, you start changing those areas right now. With your eyes closed. Whether if it's in the realm of healing, you have to see what you will be doing when you're healed. So realm of prosperity, you have to see where you are in the abundance of God. What you're doing with it. So area, it's more real. What you see invisibly, in the invisible realm, is more real than this physical world right now. Right now. Just let the Holy Spirit of God do that in your life. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fall fresh on me. And as it falls fresh and flow in our midst, the Spirit of God gives visions, dreams, and imaginations. He writes the Word of God in our hearts and minds. Let the Holy Spirit take you to draw those images inside. It's all between you and Him. In the spirit world right now, He's operating and working. Few moments, the Holy Spirit is going to heal all over the congregation. We are going to lay hands on ourselves. The Spirit of God's power is present in this auditorium. There's enough power here to heal you right where you are. And as we give you explicit instructions, some of you are going to lay your hands on your own bodies and we're going to pray. When we pray, some of you are going to sense a tangible anointing flow into your body and bring a healing to your bodies right where you are standing now. His holy presence is here to heal and to touch. Right where you are, if you have a need of healing on your bodies, if it's a problem on your head area, put your hands on your head. If it's a problem on your leg area, sit down on your seats and put your hands on your legs. If you have a problem on your abdomen, put your hands on your abdomen. If you have a problem on your back, put your hands on your back. Whatever area, if it's a general area of healing in your body, just put your hands on your head area. Right now where you are, quickly now, just get
your hands on yourself, right? Right? Alright. We're gonna pray together right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come against every oppression of the enemy upon bodies here. We come against oppression on the head area, on the neck, the backbone, the body, the organs, the tissues, the legs, in Jesus' name. And we command you to leave these bodies right now. Right now, in Jesus' name, we command all the sicknesses and diseases. We have power over you. We have dominion over you. And in Jesus' name, we command every foul oppression, sickness, fever, all kinds of sickness and disease. We command you to leave these bodies now. In Jesus' name. 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 Right. Just stand up all together where you are. Lift up both your hands unto the Lord. And just begin to worship Him. Worship Him now. And thank Him for touching you and healing you right now. Right now, wherever you are, just begin praising God and worshiping God. The Lord has healed several people. There's a lady wearing a sari with pain on your knees. The pain has just disappeared while you're praising God. Just keep praising God. Just keep praising God. There's an abdominal problem that just disappeared over in this area. It just disappeared. It has just left you. There's an ear problem on my right side here. It just disappeared too. Right now, just disappear. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you, Father God. We glorify you, Lord. We glorify you. We glorify skin disease being healed. Being healed. Being healed. Life is flowing through you. It feels like a heat that just went through you. As someone had just been healed of a skin disease, it felt like a current that just went through your body. That is the power of God. It's healing your skin disease. Skin disease being healed right now. It's a sister. Oh yes, the Lord has healed you. The Lord has healed you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, it's a sister, Chinese sister. Heal our skin disease. We thank you. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. Worry hazanda la mati ki bala bala basi ki barianda la bash. Imazanda la mati barianda la masha la mash. Eka mazanga la masha kada masha ki barianda la mash. Erianda la masha na. An elderly man in your 40s. In that direction, a back problem has just been healed. Just been healed. Your back has moved into position. Nalebelika Ramadika Ramash. Ema Ramadiki Buromosi Mariana Lamashana Lamas Sibirianda Lamas. Aramashana Ramasana Lamas. Oh Ramashakara. Coals and cores are disappearing. You found the power, the hot, warm flow of the Spirit into your body. And you suddenly could breathe better. Oh, you could breathe better. Asthma. Asthma. People suffering from asthma. Oh, you could breathe better now. You find that he has got a sister wearing a bluish sort of dress all the way down to your ankles. You have asthma problem. Jesus just healed you right now. Eye problems being healed. There's a power flowing into your eyes right now. The power of God is flowing into your eyes right now. As you are healed. has healed you. He has touched you. The power of God. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. The power of God is just moving all over the congregation right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Libi rianda lama siki barianda lama tiki barianda lama. A woman who had just gone to see a doctor, and the doctor said, "You have ovary problems. Problems."